The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Get out of here. We got a lot to do.
Oh, no. Dude, get out of here. Went in my coffee.
Oh, okay. No.
Are you going to drink that now?
I am going to drink it.
Wow, that is insane.
Oh, yeah. What's up? All my coffee is drank already. Drank? I guess it is drank. It doesn't sound like drunk. I drunk it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're English lesson to start off the Monday podcast. And that was last week when we had a moth fly into my coffee. I drank all my coffee. There's no moths around.
First time we've ever seen a moth.
Right. First time ever we've seen one?
In our studio.
In a studio.
I had never seen one
before. Right.
And we're one for one on the moth going into your coffee.
Slam dunk. I hope he survived. I don't know. It's a lot. My coffee is pretty strong, so he might have been fucking juiced up big time.
I didn't notice it at the time, too, because I asked you. You heard right there.
Right.
Are you going to drink it?
And I did.
And you go, yeah, I am going to drink it. You drank it like 30 seconds later.
I did.
It was almost like defiant.
Well, it was. Like moth can't stop me. What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And I'm addicted to my coffee. I mean, I'm like... My day does not really start until coffee goes into my stomach.
What would have to go into your coffee for you not to drink it?
Oh, yeah. It'd have to be pretty gross. I don't know. Not that gross. I can get away with, I guess, a bug, obviously.
A bug? Bug might be the limit, though.
It might be. Like, really, honestly, anything with a human touching it is, to me, grosser and dirtier than that.
Like if someone put their fingers in
there, that would be like, that might be actually enough to get it done. Humans are gross, last time I checked.
A human finger grosser than a moth.
Especially if it was a woman finger, I don't know, for some reason, I feel like I'd be okay with it. But a man finger changes the dynamic totally. Like, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, women are, like, polite and keep their hands to themselves.
Clean. They're always washing.
You watch a man for, like, 3 minutes, he sticks his finger everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in his nose. It's in his eye. It's in his mouth. He itches his butt. I mean, it's just not... It's not good.
Do men always wash in the bathroom? No.
Right.
You know, I've been in men's bathrooms. No. Not
no,
all the time.
No,
sometimes it's just a courtesy water, you know,
rinse. Oh, it's so many bullshit washers around here. There's so many bullshit washers. Like, you heard the word, the water going, right? And I'm like, you didn't do anything. You didn't. I want to call people out. I want to call them out. Or the person that walks out and thinks they got out scot-free, like, and nobody noticed they didn't wash their hand.
You're
like, I won't be shaking your hand later.
Yeah.
And if I see you shaking somebody's hand, I'm going to tell them, don't shake his hand. He doesn't wash them.
And if you put your finger in my coffee, I ain't drinking
it. Yeah, no, I'm not drinking it. Yeah, that's it. All right, baby, here we go. That was a good, we got to have a little fodder to start the pod.
I know, exactly.
I can't just get right down to business, week 4 NFL craziness.
Yep. It was crazy again.
It's crazy every week right now.
And it's like some of the early games. I was in the room with you guys again here sitting next to Coach Jason Garrett, which was really cool.
You were in the big seat last night.
But it was, you're like, all right. Early on, it was like, oh, we're going to have some blowout games where I'm not going to have to pay attention to this Chargers-Texans game, you know, the Seattle-Detroit game, even though I'm a Detroit guy. I was like, all right, looks like Seattle's kind of pulling away in that one. No, they all end up being one-score games.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is insane. It is. Well, we've talked about this a lot. The NFL is set up right now for the quarterbacks to be able to bring you back, you know, late in the fourth quarter when you're down. 17, 20 points down, it seems like nothing this day and age. And, you know, again, I just think I'll say the same thing I said last week. I don't think this is about the time where I'd go teams are probably starting to figure out exactly what they are. And I think we'll start to see more consistent football from here on out. I'd be surprised. just not as sloppy. I mean, what I mean by that.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's that aspect. I think you'll start to see the cream, you know, separate from the rest of the crew here.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I am. But either way, yeah, we're still in the part of the season where desperation, you know, we're backs against the wall. We'll take a few chances. We're not playing our best football. We're banged up early season injuries and all that. And man, it's hard to pick the game straight up, let alone pick them with a spread. Holy cow.
A lot of people having trouble with that, not just you, Chris.
I don't know how you couldn't. I don't feel bad. I looked at it last night and I was like, damn, I think I went 7-for-9 yesterday and straight up. And I was just like, I looked at the games and go, all right, I mean, I don't know. I picked the Saints to win by a field goal. The Vikings won by a field goal. You know, six for nine. So, thank you, Pete.
You wanted to bring you down even a little bit more. Yeah.
That you know, I picked the Browns to win a close one against the Falcons. It went the other way. It's just some of them. I picked the Steelers to win a close one. They lost the close one. It's hard right now. It really is. But let's talk about it. There's lots of good stuff to talk about.
Yep, we'll go through every game from Sunday. That is our pledge to the homies each and every Monday. We got Damn Okay, some of the players that popped out there. We got Give Me the Headlines at the end, where we become newspaper editors.
Yeah, we're good.
And then Monday Night Football, a preview with some props there as well. So let's start with some of the division leaders here. Pete has ordered this expertly once again, even though he was here late with us once again.
Pizza grinder.
So every game was close, we said. A one possession game, except for, as has been the trend here, our game on Sunday night, even though this was an awesome game. We got to see Brady. We got to see Mahomes. The Chiefs doing some magic stuff. Mahomes doing some magic things. They end up winning 41-31. It was crazy because the Bucs, one thing, we were like, well, that defense. They don't know how good the offense is. Defense has been the best in the NFL. They had given up, 9 points per game, 27 all
phenomenal.
Year.
Right.
Chiefs had 28 at halftime. So let's start with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because you look at the stats.
Right.
Tom Brady, of course, he was bringing his team back.
And I like where you're going with
this.
They
barely ran at all. But you look at the stats. It's like he 385, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You're like, wow, Brady had the better game. Patrick Mahomes, though, he also had 3 touchdowns. What is it about Patrick Mahomes right now?
Right.
You know, the stats might not jump, although the stats are still fine.
Right.
249 yards,
yeah.
3 scores. What is it about Patrick Mahomes right now? Can you put your finger on what makes him so special?
First off, the physical ability is crazy, right? We've never seen anybody with as creative as throwing the football as Patrick Mahomes, you know, let alone being able to do that and then, of course, make every throw being creative as well, or make the standard throw when it's just, hey, prototypical quarterback play. But, I think you heard me talking last night, and we were talking, it's hard to quantify. Even looking at the game, and I like where you're going here, just because I looked up in the second quarter and I was like, you look at the stats, and I'm paying, you know, I always got a stat thing showing on why I'm watching the game, and then I'm going, well, Brady's stats are better. He's throwing for more yards, quarterback rating, but there's no fucking way he's the better quarterback in the field for the first two quarters of that game. It's really hard to quantify the Mahomes magic. It really is. It just seems like in every got-to-have-it moment or got-to-have-it play, he comes through. And even though it might not be, you know, a 40-yard or surgical, 40-yard bomb, boom, 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 it's just like it gets done. And then it gets done with a degree of difficulty at times where you go, hey, that was a cool play, but nothing was open. But damn, he just got it done as usual, or made some play happen. So there's a mixture of, wait, cool play. Yeah, we can be surgical, but also it's not overly surgical. And then he can just make it happen that it's hard to really, put it into words at times. And I was saying this in the studio last night, you know, how do you put it into words? How do you do it? It's so hard to explain, where... Yeah, his stats don't just fly off the page at you, but yet you're going, there's no doubt who the best player on the field is. So the stats aren't quantifying exactly, you know, his worth to the game or his worth to the Chiefs. And yeah, he was phenomenal last night. He really was. Here's my big thing with them. If they play like that right there, and you know them, we've talked about this a lot. They get an early turnover on the opening kickoff return. And I even said, right as it happened, I was like, uh-oh. I literally yelled out. I go, the Bucs are going to be down 21-0 before they blink. Because this is just, that's the Chiefs. It's like we talk about the Golden State Warriors. They hit a few threes, and all of a sudden you look up and you go, they're up by 35. the game. They were down by two just a minute ago. They're unreal that way. But the game plan was impressive. The physicality was impressive. And then, of course, him added on to it is just insane. I don't know. Can you describe it?
It's like a wave of momentum. It's like that offense. I think the Bills' offense when Josh Allen
is definitely like that.
When he's cooking. The Dolphins for one quarter when they're playing the Ravens.
But what
defense.
Is it about the... Like, the statistics, yet we know he's the best player. Like, see, Allen goes through that, too. Like, yesterday, like, Allen's stats don't jump off you. You're right. Mahomes is to a greater aspect, though, of, like, the stats don't look good, but you're like, he's definitely made the best plays on the field and has been the best player on the field.
You've put it well.
You think so?
He's Steph Curry with a spiral.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I think, visually, the way he makes it happen.
Right.
Right? Sidearm going underneath a defensive lineman's arm so it doesn't get batted down at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
We all saw the basketball touchdown throw to Clyde Edwards.
The alley-oop you mean he threw from half court?
Exactly.
Right,
I think, visually, he just has more ways creatively.
Right.
And he's not the most athletic quarterback out there. He's very athletic.
Yeah, right. I got you.
He's not Lamar.
Right.
He's not Kyler Murray.
Right.
Right? But it just seems like the creativity, the way that he can move his body and get himself into areas
awkward
that
positions
can make
and
plays.
Everything. Right.
It's visually unlike anyone in the game right now and anyone we've ever seen, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's really what it is. And it's addicting to watch, you know, again, as much as, you know, I love Mahomes and Rodgers and Lamar and those that, and Justin Herbert and Burrow, there's just a pizzazz about Mahomes when you watch him where you go, this shit is, I'm not even overstating it. It's magical.
Yeah.
It really is. And, The Chiefs, I'm proud of the Chiefs. I mean, first off, I didn't think they could ever run the ball like that on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But then, you know, you heard me last week a little bit on the pod on the Wednesday, what the F happened pod, where I was just like, you know, get away from the run game a little bit. Let's just throw more screens. They did throw more screens last night. There's no doubt about that. That was part of their game plan.
Juju had a big one.
Right. Juju, Kelsey, down. There was a few right there. And it's not, again, I'm not looking for it. We're not looking for screens to be like home run breakers. We just want it, if they have a steady dose of it where they're getting 5 and 6 yards, they're going to start getting the coverages they want to then start the air show again and push the ball down the field. And we saw that a little last night too. I think there was a few plays where the Bucs finally were like, all right, we can't just play umbrella defense here. You know, they're running on us or they're throwing the ball short. We got to change it up. And then they strike for a more aggressive play down the field. But, man, that right there I think shows you the potential of the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that game fell their way in some ways and the Bucs didn't have their best night, but it just shows you that when the Chiefs are on their game, there's no doubt they're in the class of the best team in football and in that convo.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 92 yards. Pacheco came in, the rookie, 63 yards. He looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I know you're
going
to take a deeper look at this game probably on Wednesday. You're going to want to take a look at the film.
Yep.
So we won't spend too much time on it, but this is an interesting question that came in from DSHSV99.
Whoa, that's like a top CIA clearance number right there.
Member of the FBI. On the broadcast, he or she says, it looked like Andy Reid was calling all the plays. Is he taking it into his own hands because Eric Bieniemy can't attack shell coverages? Ooh, very
it's a great question. And at DSHSV99, that's something I noticed during the game too. I had some NBC people before the game go, you know, who calls the plays? And I said, well, this year Bieniemy's been calling the plays. And then we started the game and I went, I think Andy's calling the plays today. And then, of course, we showed another clip of him on NBC, and he was covering his mouth. I'm like, damn, Andy's calling the plays. So, big games, Andy has been known to take over. Maybe he hasn't liked the total rhythm of the offense. Listen, I don't think the plays to our answer here to one of the homies or homettes is that I don't think the plays change a whole lot. But you always hear me about great play callers have a feel for the other guy. They know how to tie the plays together, right? Hey, we threw a screen. A few plays later, we faked that screen and hit Marquez Valding up the sideline for a big play, right?
Yeah.
That's where I think Andy is. I hope, you know, nothing against Eric Bieniemy, but he has a little magic there. And they have a great committee anyways, but it did seem like Andy Reid was calling the play. And then I think the other thing where the Chiefs were so good at staying ahead of the chains last night. I mean, at one point, they were 9-for-11 on third downs. Maybe that's part of the Mahomes thing, too, where we just go, man, every third down, he just makes it happen. Some were, you know, smart, good tactical plays. The others were, you're just like, what the fuck? That was a great defense. How do you stop that? I don't know. And then the others were like, whoa, that's a cool play by Andy Reid. But I thought their ability to kind of stay in those manageable situations, you know, that was a big key, too, whether it was the run game or screen game, to keep them in, you know, a lot of third and fours and things like that, to where I don't give a shit who you are and what defense you got. You got Patrick Mahomes at third and four too many times. You can't stop that.
Yeah.
You know, along with Andy Reid and the talent they have on their team. So that was impressive, let alone, you know, their defense was impressive too.
One thing, let's go to the Bucs offense. One thing with the Bucs here, their defense was impressive. Now, they got very pass happy to the Bucs because they were down big early on. You've mentioned Todd Bowles wants his team to be more of a running team.
Exactly.
So he hated the game yesterday.
No doubt.
Leonard Fournette carried it three times for negative 3 yards. They only had 3 yards total as a team in rushing compared to the Chiefs' 189. Was it just a matter of the game got away from them early and they had to change the way they had to revert back to Tom Brady from last year?
I think so. I think that's, you know, I think that game played out, you know, exactly the way they didn't want it to play out. Yeah.
Should they have done that though? I mean, should they have tried to just still stay balanced?
It was hard to, just in the fact of it's 14-3 before we blink our eyes, and you know, we gotta push the envelope a little here tonight because it seems like, you know, Mahomes and Andy and the enemy got their mojo going.
They could score 41.
Here's the other element too, is, you know, the one thing I love about Spags, when he plays Brady, he doesn't like bow down. You see, he puts people at the line of scrimmage. He makes Brady think. You know, how many times last night did you hear Brian, Red Giant, because he's, you know, Mike 54, Linda, Rita. He's changing things because Spag challenges him. There's a reason Spags has beat him in a Super Bowl. And, hey, beat him with the Chiefs, too, and giving them some issues. You know, but that's where, you know, I think they have a good balance of like, hey, we're crowding the line of scrimmage. We're giving you the pass. Like, oh, we drop out. Hey, we're crowding the line of scrimmage. We're probably going to drop out again. Oh, we blitzed somebody you didn't expect. And I thought that was a good job by him, just, you know, keeping them off kilter a little bit as well. But I think my overall thing is I'm not panicked by the Bucs. You know, they ran into a team that was ready to go last night, pissed off. A Super Bowl hangover from 2 years ago, that's still in their mind. I mean, Kelce and Mahomes, the leaders of the team, they were there. So was Chris Jones and Frank Clark. They don't forget that moment. You know, so I think they really got their A game there going last night.
Yeah.
And I think the Bucs are still a team that's kind of still finding their way a little bit as far as how they want to play as a complete team and, you know, trying to play this more balanced approach on offense. And we'll see if they can keep it going. I don't know. Maybe you go for it for a few more weeks. If they feel like it doesn't work, maybe you open it back up to the pass game. But I don't think you do that quite yet. I think you stay with the plan.
I think for the Chiefs, too, and Pete will like this, I think we've finally gotten to the point where we don't have to mention anymore how will they survive without Tyreek Hill. I think now going into week five.
You think?
Tyreek Hill, I don't know, right?
I don't know. I mean, you can't listen to a breakdown of the Chiefs and then not bring that up on TV.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But I think maybe it's dead now. Maybe it's dead.
I hope so. It should be. And again, I think last night shows a lot too, a little bit again. The way they spread the ball around, it's hard, other than Kelce, it's hard to figure, you know, who they're going against. And, you know, I hear people say, like, well, you just got to double Kelce. It's a very hard double. It's a very hard double. The way they move him around, his ability to run routes, they give him freedom in their backyard football. But when you double Kelce, you're going to then give the looks that they want to throw down the field. And I know there's no Tyreek there, but McColl and Valdez-Scantling can still, Hardman can go and that group there to
Watson,
where.
Watson, we saw against
Watson,
the Chargers.
Right, and Sky Moore, and they're still going to be able to scare you that way. So that's where, you know, they gotten you in a bind right now. And yes, they're the number four offense in football.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing okay with Tyreek.
They can get you in a bind, so can the Bills and so can the Ravens.
Yes.
And they did that for each a half.
Yeah.
The Ravens offense in the first half and the Bills offense in the second half. Great comeback by the Bills in Baltimore. They improved to 3-1. They win by 3. Let's start at the end of the game, fourth quarter. We talked about it a lot on Football Night in America. John Harbaugh and the call with the game tied at 20, 4 minutes left. Ravens hadn't done much in the second half, drove down there at the 2-yard line, 4th and 2.
Yeah.
They go for it.
Right.
They don't kick the field goal.
Right.
Lamar under pressure, backpedaling, throws it up in the end zone. Poyer with the interception, which changed things significantly, put them at the 20, and then they drive down, kick a field goal.
Right.
Time expires.
Right.
Dat Boy Crisis says that Harbaugh is dumb in a lot of his coaching decisions. That's just a statement. I guess he's wanting to know if you're going to agree or disagree with that statement and that call at the end of the game.
That was it. Yes, yeah. Sorry. I was.
Are you going to agree?
I'm not going to say he's dumb. All right. First off, I think he's a hell of a coach. Do I think that decision was not my favorite? I'm not going to say it's dumb. I think there is some like real.
Well, there's a lot of thought
merit there and thought. Right. This is not a guy that's just going by the seat of his pants. He's not. He's a little more well thought out than that. Hey, at the end of the day, like you heard me say last night, I'm kicking the field goal. I am. I mean, the drive before they stopped, that Buffalo didn't do anything. I mean, that's what I was looking up when it, Buffalo went three and out the drive before. All right, and. You know, I'm just a believer in, and you've heard me say this over and over, and I think anybody that listens to the podcast, I don't know, I grew up an old school Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick way of football through my dad. It's just, you know, you take the lead and you put the pressure on the other team to execute and go and make the play and do things the right way to overtake the lead. That's just my thought. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing and what we hit on last night, and you know, Jason Garrett made the point, and I think it's spot on, is the interception is what really fucks the play up. Because if they just throw the ball incomplete, right, yep. they're going to get the ball at the 3-yard line and be backed up, and they got to be a little careful with the plays they call because they are backed up and all of that. And you know, the interception changes the dynamic because now he's tackled in the end zone. The ball's at the 20, and, oh, there's a little breathing room. I bet you if John Harbaugh knew that was going to happen, he'd go, oh, wait, I don't want to do that. That's not cool. So I don't think it's the worst decision in the world, but I wouldn't have done it. I'll say that.
So you made the point that they had held him to 3 and out the previous drive, but that was the first time they had done that in a long time. The drive before that,
right.
9 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. The play or the drive before that, 10 plays, 51 yards, and a field goal. The drive before that, 11 plays, 76 yards, and a touchdown. So
they were rolling.
The Bills were rolling.
Yes,
there.
They were.
And I think if you look at the numbers and win probability, there was definitely a case for trying to go for it there and put the nail in the coffin if you could, or make it a whole lot more difficult for the Bills to come back and score and tie that game. But what do you think overall? I mean, we hadn't seen that the Bills win a whole lot of one-score games. I think they hadn't won one. They were like 0-7.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy,
really. I don't know how much you make of that. And previously, Josh Allen was 0-7 when trailing by 17 or more points. So I don't know. These are just fluky stats. I don't know if you can read much into it.
Well, I mean, it's 0-7. I mean, Drew Brees never brought the Saints back from 16 points down. People act like it's like hey, he's never. Can you believe Josh Allen's never brought them back from 17? Yeah. I mean, we just saw the Saints last week have an all-time comeback. They had an all-time quarterback. We act like it's nothing. You know, it's not easy to overcome that all the time, especially, too, in their instance with Josh Allen, where it's just, you know, it's the Josh Allen show. There's no run game that the defense has to worry about. Oh, we don't have to worry about a draw play or this run play that might gash us, all of that. I thought that played into the hands, ultimately, of Baltimore yesterday. I think you heard me maybe say that during the game. One thing I didn't think about was Baltimore didn't have to worry about a run game yesterday. That's why their defense looked a little bit better. They could just go, wait, all we got to do is worry about the pass, really, and just containing Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the most part, hey, the Ravens controlled the first half of the football game. We know that.
They didn't contain Josh Allen, though, running the football
they
in the
did
second
not.
Half.
They definitely did not. I mean, in the second half, he was making plays everywhere. And, yes, they fell into issues with him scrambling more than anything, more than the design runs yesterday.
Yes.
But I think the thing that, you know, the game was a little misleading in the fact that when it was 20-3, the Bills had driven the ball, had some big drops on third downs. I mean, there was really a point in the first half where I went, well, this is like the fifth or sixth pass that's gone through wet gloves that was right on target and kind of ended the drive.
You were blaming the receivers. There have been times when you said drops aren't always on the receivers,
no,
right?
No, right.
And it was wet out there, and they were wearing gloves. You were getting angry. They're
I was
making
take the gloves off.
They're making your boy Blue look bad.
Well,
and
just
so
take
it's like,
the
take the gloves off.
Right. And so, and a few of the...
Maybe he was throwing it too hard.
The announcers were talking about, like, you know, there was a conversation with players about when I should take the gloves off during the game.
Changing gloves.
And I want to go, like, it was your third drop. Maybe now's the time to do it. Like, let's do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, it's, you know, Bills, you got to give them credit. They're still a banged-up football team. And to be down 20-3, to have that huge drive in the end of the second quarter, and then what I'm most interested to see, you know, the Ravens defense gave up, you know, 20 unanswered points, right? But at the same time, I want to see what the Bills did more schematically in the second half. The whole Lamar Jackson scoreless in the second half, where, you know, in the first half, not that it was big time, but man, they just seemed like the Bills couldn't get off the field. Lamar, the passing offense, the run game, whatever, just made every play they needed to extend the drive and keep things going and really controlled the flow of the first half with a few Bills mistakes like we're talking about.
Yeah, Scarecrow Boat wants to know the same things. He goes, damn okay to that Bills defense. They held the Ravens offense to 0 points in the second half after doing the same to the Rams and the Titans.
Yeah.
Pete notes here that Buffalo has allowed 7 points in the second half this season.
Well, that speaks to one thing. And you know what that is. Come on, what is it?
Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier.
Exactly right. There's some teams that can adjust at halftime, and there's some teams that can't. There's some teams that just can't see the game for what it is. And that's where, like, to me, McDermott and Leslie Frazier are amazing. You know, I've been around, like, you know, I've seen McDaniels and Belichick in action. You know, it was a lot different how they handled halftime maybe compared to John Gruden. John Gruden would be like, hey, we'd still like these plays, blah, blah, blah. McDaniels, that kind of guy, I'm just giving some context. I'm sorry,
sure.
I don't mean that. McDaniels would come in and be like, hey, they're playing us like this. They're doing this. This is this kind of game. They're doing this when we get in this formation. We're going to start doing this now, right? And you're like, damn, okay, yeah, that makes sense, right? Instead of just like, hey, these are plays we like. Okay, yeah, I like them too, but does it mean it's going to work today? I don't know. So there was a real and they seem to have always the right feel to go, you know, I'm sure they're charting things, how they're being played throughout the game, and they can get in the halftime, they can look at it and go, you know, they're doing this, this, and this. We got to do this now. We got to combat it with that. And, oh, we've been gashed by this and that. All right, when they get in that formation, we can't play this defense anymore. And they seem to have a real great feel and intellect on how to make those adjustments.
We'll give Ian the last word here. Ian 31280. What's going on with all these weird numbers and CIA codes?
I don't know.
What's going on with the homies
top
here?
Top secret.
He goes, the Ravens should be 4-0, and then he's got, what is that, the monkey with his eyes covered. He's like, he can't look. You know, they've had two big leads, and they've blown them.
Yeah.
Dolphins and the Bills here this last week. Defense has something to do with that, and there's concerns with the defense. Yes, they could be 4-0,
right?
But there's a reason they're not.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I'm not panicked about the Ravens. I still think their defense will get better.
Okay.
You know, I think yesterday's blown lead is less concerning to me than actually, at least from the defensive standpoint. Like I said, the offense I want to go check out because it did sputter out completely, which is concerning when there's no Jordan Phillips or Ed Oliver on the field or Tre'Davious White or, you know, Micah Hyde and some of these guys where you go, can the Bills' defense really be what we think it can be? But it's to me was less disappointing yesterday than the Dolphins game, where it was just a free-for-all, and there was no answers, and then there was mental mistakes, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, they're doing whatever they want. Like, remember we said it was screen for 15 and wide-open guy down the middle for 20, and then it was like, wait, we forgot how to play cover two, and we don't even cover Tyreek Hill. Yesterday, they made I felt like it was more extraordinary plays from Josh Allen and company that just got it done, but it does bring up the one thing that we have talked about again. That there's nobody in the front for Baltimore that can make a play in these moments. They don't have the closer. Hey, we're up by 17. It's 3rd and 12. I'm going to get the fucking sack here, and they're going to punt away. Instead, it's, you know, whoa, he escaped, and now he's on the edge, and he threw a great throw because they couldn't cover for 12 seconds, right? Or he escapes, and there's nobody there to tackle him on 3rd and 5, and he runs for the first down. And that, to me, is where they're missing those kind of guys right now. And you know, again, I think in a lot of ways the Bills' offense was a favorable matchup for Baltimore because, like I said, they didn't have to worry about the run game. But, you know, as we saw once again, I mean, Josh Allen is in a very elite class, and he can become almost unstoppable at times once he kind of gets on fire, like we see Mahomes.
Yeah, Bills improved to 3-1. Ravens fall to 2-2. Every team in the AFC North right now at the top there is 2-2. Cleveland's 2-2. Baltimore's 2-2. Cincy's 2-2. We got Baltimore and Cincy.
Sunday Night Football.
Sunday
that's
going to
be a good one. No,
no
doubt
it's
about
not.
It.
It's not. It's going to be a blowout because that's all we get now is blowout games. We hope it's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, out of those three teams,
yeah,
right? You know, Cleveland, Cincy, Baltimore. Yeah. Just right off the top of your head right now, who's like, who do you think's the best of the group?
I still think that
it's tough.
I would give the edge to Baltimore.
You're going to give Baltimore and then Cincy and then Cleveland?
Because I think they have Lamar, and I think there's questions on everyone, right? Can Cincinnati protect Joe Burrow?
That's definitely. I know. It's hard.
Who's Cleveland still because right then now? They just lost to Atlanta.
I know. Yeah, I'm not going to put Cleveland. It's definitely, to me, Cincy or Baltimore, for sure. And you two talk about that. You're right. It's a major concern. But then you're like, well, it's Joe Burrow and those weapons, yeah. And they'll figure it out. It is really hard. But it's two teams still that I think are going to be in the thick of things here throughout the year.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
There's only one undefeated team. And that is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Fly,
the Doug Peterson
Eagles.
Bowl.
Fly.
They cheered Doug Peterson.
Good, I hope so.
The fans are trying to get past that whole Santa Claus thing. They don't want people to bring up the Santa Claus thing anymore.
Well, let's wait till Santa Claus comes out again, and we'll see where they've adjusted.
He's never shown up since, right?
Right, they said, fuck that place.
Boo me once, shame on you. Boo me twice, shame on me for showing back up. I get that. Eagles beat the Jaguars, 29-21. Interesting game, though, because it was 14-0 right away.
Yeah.
The Jaguars were like, wow, they have arrived, and your crush grew bigger and bigger. But it was a rainy, wet game.
Which I hate. I hated that for Buffalo and Baltimore
game.
And this. Well, I just want to see teams at their best and their fastest and cut, you know, quickly and hit hard. And that's where I hate sloppiness in a big game like that.
Trevor Lawrence was not great.
No, he was not.
It was sloppy for him. Four fumbles lost, the most in a single game by any quarterback since at least 1991. Is five giveaways, most in a game in Lawrence's career. Okay. Oh, boy. Andriella Pagone.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think I nailed that. Right?
Yeah.
Can we just cut out the part where I'm stammering and being like, cut that out. All right. The weather in the Jags-Eagles game was bad. Trevor Lawrence and the Jags struggled with it mightily. However, the Eagles' offense seemed content to play in it. What gives? Yeah, what'd you make of that?
Well, you know, I think the Eagles they're made for that right there. I mean, wait, we got to play Smash Mouth and run the ball? Our big fuckers got to get in a mud pit and see who can push each other around? Well, our pigs are bigger in the mud pit, so we're going to push you around. You know, they're comfortable with that. You know, so this is where they're an unbelievable roster going back to our preseason rankings. It's like, oh, wait, we can't maybe throw the ball as deep today and do that. Well, okay, we can play the power ugly football game. I think that's really what it is, you know, more than anything. They have so many ways they can beat you right now. I think that's what we're seeing through 4 weeks. And, I mean, really on the ropes in this football game. Like you said, the pick six, really good drive by the Jaguars to go down and score a touchdown. You know, stop the Eagles on a 4th-and-3 around midfield, and you're going, holy shit, the Jaguars, 2 first downs, and they're going to be up 17-0 here at the least. He misses Agnew on a double move down the right sideline on first down where it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a touchdown.
Didn't put enough air on the ball.
Right. Yeah. Kind of threw a line drive and didn't let him run underneath it. Misses that. You know, a few plays later, it gets to 4th-and-3, I believe, I want to say, right? Maybe 4th-and-5. He leaves the pocket and just drops the ball. The ball looks like I don't know if it's just a jolt of him trying to running form or if his thigh hit the football. Either way, he drops it, and, you know, huge moment in the football game, not only because he's probably going to be able to run for the first. If not, there's a guy wide open over there when I'm watching the replay on I believe that was Fox yesterday. All right, he's got an easy completion. They're going to get the first down, and it's going to be, oh, wow. And then from that moment on, that was the game-changing moment, in my opinion. There was a few plays yesterday in football that were game-changing moments, and that was one right there. You know, that leads to a 7-play, 57-yard drive, and it was like Jacksonville's offense couldn't quite get it together ever again after that, and you just saw the Eagles just go, oh, okay, well, you know, we might just have to play a little ugly today and run the ball and do that, and then we'll hit our shots here and there if we got to, and that's what they did, and their defense just wore down Jacksonville, and Lawrence was reverted back to the bad pocket play I saw last year.
I know, I was thinking of that. I was like, it was just a week after.
I was just praising
him. You were praising him.
I know.
A pocket awareness. He screwed you.
He screwed me. He literally watched that, and he was like, well, I've made it. You know, Sim says I'm good in the pocket. I've made it. I don't need to work on it anymore. Not exactly.
Because just a couple of times, the pressure came from the front side. It wasn't even the backside. Front side just knocked the ball out of his hands.
Hey, listen, I love a guy that's looking downfield, doesn't feel the rush, but you know how it is. There's too many crazy fuckers on the defensive line that are talented this day and age right now. You got to be like, always have your head on a swivel, like Lamar or Josh Allen or Mahomes, where, hey, we look at one, we look at two, I got to peek for a second to see, okay, now I can look at three, right? And I think yesterday he got a little of that. He fumbled a snap. You know, the interception down in the red zone when they had a chance, they're kind of driving and you're going, hey, they got a little momentum going here. And it looks like he has Christian Kirk if he drives the ball to him, you know, on a line drive. You know, it doesn't see the corner falling off James Bradbury. That was another big moment where, you know, what was the score of that game at that point? I want to say it was like maybe 23-14. It might have been 20-14. It was around the third quarter. But either way, those were moments where, you know, they lost their chance to kind of climb back in the game and regain momentum. And Philly is no doubt the best team in football right now.
Hassan Reddick, give him credit for forcing two of those fumbles,
jumping on
two of those fumbles, two sacks in the game. So he was terrorizing Trevor Lawrence, and it was Miles Sanders with a career high.
Yeah.
134 yards, two touchdowns, also a career high. And real quick, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Great again.
Great again.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know,
Philly fans are going to want to hear you say I was wrong about Jalen Hurts.
Well, no, I mean, again, am I wrong? I'm wrong with this right here. I was questioning whether he was a legit NFL starter. He's proved me wrong there for sure. Now, whether, you know, every now and then I see him, why isn't he in the same breath as Mahomes and Allen? I want to go, no, now you need to shut the fuck up and let's back off a little bit here, okay? It's really good, right? It is. It's a great team like we're talking about. He's doing a great job. And the thing I love about him, like the three-yard run for the touchdown, right, to make it 14-7. Like what? Lowered his shoulder? Like had a guy coming full speed, taking that kind of hit? I mean, that's just the toughness of the player I respect.
Physical runner.
And the throwing is better. So I am wrong about Jalen Hurts, but I'm going to pump the brakes on everybody that's trying to tell me he's the top 10 quarterback in football already. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this is going to sound disrespectful, but it's not. A lot of quarterbacks would look really good in Philadelphia. You know, he got hurt last year, and Gardner Minshew looked like fucking awesome.
Yeah.
They're a good team. He makes them even better, though. And I am going to say that for sure because of their running ability, his deep ball throwing ability, and then, his running ability off of all that is special, and it makes them tough. And, you know, for all those out there that were like, Eagles, number one seed in the NFC playoffs. Sims, you're fucking insane. Like, no, I'm not. I'm actually smart on this one.
Feeling good about that one.
I how can you not? You're watching it.
Yep.
Right?
Hurts is third now in the MVP. He could win the MVP.
Who knows?
Quarterbacks on the best team often have a pretty good chance.
No doubt about it. You're right. He's going to be in the MVP conversation. There's no doubt.
Aaron Rodgers has the claim to that the last 2 years.
Right.
And he pulled one out yesterday, although his comments after the game, he was not very happy about the way this game played out.
Yeah, how could he be?
Packers beat the Patriots by 3, went to overtime, deep into overtime, which it was not cool. It went into our show, right? The end of their game went into Football Night in America.
Seriously.
So I hope most people turned off the game and caught Football Night at starting at 7 Eastern,
right?
Which I think most people probably do, right? You don't need to see Aaron Rodgers come back again.
Against the third-string Patriots quarterback. Jeez.
Been there.
Boring.
Been there, done that. Okay, so here let's get to where do I want to start here? First of all, I give you way, way, way more respect now. Not that I didn't before, But for being able to track this game while we're doing the show and preparing, I was like, I knew nothing of what was happening in this game. This game was happening while we were doing the show, while we were rehearsing. Chris kept his eye on it. From what you saw, should Aaron Rodgers be disappointed how this game played out?
Yeah. You know, I saw the comments, like what he talked about a little bit. This is not sustainable. This is what I've been trying to say a little bit. Like, and you heard me say this.
What's not sustainable?
The way they're playing to win. Like, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this way. It's not going to happen. It's not. It's too hard. There's lack of big plays on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it's too reliant on the defense, which, again, I know is good. I'm not ready to write home and say it's like the best defense in football yet. But, yeah, I don't know if this is going to get it done against the cream of the crop in football. You know, that's where I worry about it. And we'll see where it goes. But either way, they got the victory. You know, New England's not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. Their defense is good. And, you know, I think where they hurt is they're just trying to figure out their plays and their player that they're going to start to formulate around, right? Like, at some point, like we talk about, you got to have something that, all right, this is our go-to stuff, this is what we do, and this makes defenses change what they do. See, they've been so Davante Adams, you know, reliant in that aspect to go, wait, we got him singled out, so now you have to double him, and now we have this play over here, right? And no, now you're outnumbered on this side. Oh, wait, we have this cool play over here, and you're stopping it. But now Davante Adams is single over here, and you're screwed. So what are you going to do, right? And then Davante Adams into the, whoa, he is over here right now, a part of the concept, and there's a whole list of plays that they go to here. So they don't have that, anything in their offense right now that I think is making a defense go, oh, no, we have to do this. We have to stop this. We have to change this on third down. We usually play these coverages, but we can't do that against this group because of what they're doing. And they don't have that yet. Yeah. I think they'll get there. I really do.
Yeah, what do you think about those receivers? I mean, Lazard led the team in yards, 116, and they had a pretty good connection previously, and Aaron Rodgers has said before this is his time to be the number one. Maybe he'll develop into that guy. And it seems like Romeo Dobbs is coming on strong here, too. He had a touchdown in the game.
Dobbs has got real talent. All right, Lazard, to me, I've always been a fan of Lazard. He's not a number one. He's a really awesome number two, you know. My hope, and you know, as I always like Aaron Rodgers and rooting for him, is that they can get Dobbs and Watson and Lazard on the field to where he can feel comfortable, and then I could go, you better watch out for that crew right there, where now he can call his plays and check and not feel uncomfortable about like, oh, I don't know if Christian Watson knows exactly how to do this or whatever else, because that to me has real talent to stress out a defense. And he's obviously getting more comfortable with Dobbs. You can see that clearly. You know, and almost had the big connection at the end of the football game to really put the game away, right, with the touchdown that got you know, overruled or ultimately got called incomplete, and then LaFleur stupidly challenged. But I think that's where they're kind of at, and there's potential is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he would even trust Dobbs and that crew this early in the season. Last week it showed he trusted him in Tampa Bay. There's more of trustery this week. If Watson could stay healthy, that's where I go, oh, watch out. They could be a handful if those guys get going here.
Yeah. Already trying to use him as a weapon. He had that end around 15-yard
touchdown. They're trying to hide him right now a little bit that way. Right.
At C Sims quarterback 2, your burner account says, despite the win, the Packers offense still clearly struggling. Their play calling seems inept. Very few easy passes or open receivers now. Is the departure of Nathaniel Hackett more to blame for the offensive woes than the loss of Adams and Scantling?
I think, listen, it doesn't help. Nathaniel's, you know, smart. And I think, again, when you add another guy into the think tank, right? Rodgers, LaFleur Nathaniel Hackett. They also lose Gadecki. The offensive coordinator for the Bears, right? There's another guy that's now, you know, hey, Getsy. Who the hell is Gadecki? I'm just getting it mixed up with somebody. Yeah. But Getsy, so you've lost, like, okay, Hackett, Getsy, Davante Adams, Scott, like that's a pretty good crew to go, wait, we're different here on this side of the ball. And to add to that, to add C. Sims QB2, right, is what I would say is this a little bit. Their offense has never been that imaginative. It's not, you know, it's just they couple plays together the right way. They got the basics, and then they just rely on him to get in the right play against the right defense all the time. Him as in Rodgers, right? And that's where I've never turned on Packers film, and I think you guys can attest to this, and just gone, oh my gosh, some of the plays they ran, they were the coolest fucking things I ever saw, and oh my gosh. No, they're kind of boring and by the book, but they just do it the right way, and he never lets you relent in like, oh, you got away with that one. I shouldn't have called that play. Like, they call good play, and then if you get in a different defense, he gets you in the right play. A little bit what Belichick was talking about after the game. It's hard. You know, Belichick probably drives him crazy because his schematics don't overcome Aaron Rodgers all the time. Rodgers goes, oh, wait, Bill, he's playing this, but oh, I got to check for that. Now his defense is in trouble here.
Yeah.
And I think if you couple that, yeah, with a few ideas and then bringing these guys together, that's why the offense hasn't looked right. But I think there's some hopefulness here in the last 2 weeks for the way things have looked.
Luke Gedecky, right? Is that the name? The offensive lineman, rookie guard for the Bucs.
The Buccaneers,
right?
That's
But
Gedecky.
It's not Gedecky, right? It's Gedecky.
Gedecky, you're right. Yes.
We're learning
Way to go. You're so good at your pronunciations.
Remember I said by the end of the year, I want us to know every offensive lineman, defensive lineman, everything, their pronunciation.
Got to give the Pats a little credit.
So what did you think of Bailey Zappe coming in? Brian Hoyer had to leave with a head injury, unfortunately. Right. Bailey Zappe, the first rookie to throw a touchdown pass this season.
Yeah, it's funny, actually.
He looked like Mac Jones light.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he is. That's what they like. Or he's, you know, Brian Hoyer-like. I mean, it's smart. He knows where to put the football. You know, he had the bad strip sack fumble, right, kind of early on when he first got in. I want to say that was maybe Rashawn Gary that stripped him. I can't remember exactly. It was Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
But, you know, he looked good. But, like, you're doing a segment, I'm watching some of these drives here at the end. It was run, 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 play action pass to somebody wide open, run, 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 play action pass to somebody wide open. And he did a good job getting the ball to the guy he was supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very tough situation, certainly. And, you know, one that, damn, I would have liked to have seen that game with Brian Hoyer, because I think that game probably would have been a little bit even more interesting than it was.
Yeah, 18 carries for Harris, 14 carries for Stevenson. We'll probably see that many times this year.
Yes, you will.
So Packers get a win. One of the rivals in the NFC North, the Vikings went to London, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the home of Harry Kane and Youngmin's son as well.
I know Harry. I don't know the other guy.
Youngmin's son, very good player.
I'm not as into my soccer world as I used to be. I'm not quite. I used to be more of a pay attention to all the particulars. I'm not quite there anymore.
Yeah, what do they call it in hockey if it goes off the piping? What do they say? Is that off the...
The piping.
Off the post.
Off the post.
Yeah, so it's off the post.
Right.
In soccer, they go off the woodwork. And in this, in football, we just say it was a double doink.
They say it was off the woodwork in soccer?
Yeah.
I don't know that
they're made of wood anymore. The goals, maybe at one time they were.
They're made of wood. They're definitely not.
But they'll say off the woodwork.
Off the woodwork. Okay.
And so, but in football, we say off the upright or crossbar.
Right.
Or if it's both, as I said, the double doink.
A double doinker.
We saw it again. On a 61-yard attempt by Will Lutz.
And
the previous drive, he nailed a 60. He had the distance, clearly. I mean, it was probably a good 65 yards or something like that. And it was funny. I was sitting next to Coach Jason Garrett, as I mentioned before. I like to get that in there. It makes me sound more important. And right after that kick goes, he's like, isn't it amazing? He's like, if that kick goes in, maybe they win the game in overtime. And we're talking about how the Saints are gutted it out and found a way to win and came back. And since that kick didn't go in, I think he was lamenting the fact and how the narrative can change just by one or two doinks off the upright. This was a highly entertaining game. Give credit to both teams, really,
right,
in this one. Justin Jefferson went off again for the Vikings. And I think both of these teams, roster-wise, could be playoff teams, but one is 3-1 now, and the Vikings and the Saints are 1-3 and maybe in a little bit of trouble.
One has an offense and the other doesn't. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I think we're definitely seeing the Sean Payton effect in New Orleans and the fact that they're missing him and a few tricks that he can bring to the game on a weekly basis and a little edge that way. I know they're losing these type of football games right now. You know, I watching this game, I really felt like Minnesota was in control of the football game. Really? They miss. I mean, first off, in control of the football game, Kirk Cousins throws an interception. You know,
get back control of the football game. Andy Dalton fumbles. They strip sack him. They're down there close. It's a wide open third and two throw. It goes right through the guy's hands. And now they get to kick a field goal. You know, they had that. They had the they forced the other fumble with Hardy, the receiver. That was a punt return, I believe, on one of the fumbles, if I remember correctly. You know, really felt like Minnesota was outplaying New Orleans, but didn't kind of take advantage of it. And New Orleans hung around and then started to kind of get a little mojo going on the offensive side of the ball and put a few drives together. It wasn't easy, but they got it done. You know, but yeah, I just – New Orleans – doesn't seem like anything's easy on the offensive side of the ball. And it's very reliant on their defense being dominant. And really, you know, I thought they were fortunate, honestly. And when I go back and watch, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they were fortunate really to be in the game. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing that jumped out at the end of the football game where, you know, New Orleans couldn't stop Minnesota in some big moments was the fact that, you know, they Justin Jefferson. You know, New Orleans said, we're going to put our best guy on your best guy, and Justin Jefferson won. And what I want to just say is, like, I just think that day's done in football with some of these receivers. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, like, you can't play them man-to-man. Like the Dolphins on Thursday night, they went, we're going to double Chase every play and put Xavier Howard on the second best receiver. I think that's the way to go in the NFL right now against some of these elite guys. It's too hard to say, I don't care who you are at corner, to just go, hey, cover this guy who runs 4-3 and he's a great route runner, he's got great ball skills, and just cover him all over the field. And they're going to, you know, rub him against people and do this and do that. Like, it's just, it's too much.
Is that partly because of the way the game is officiated now, too? Or is it just the talent level of these wide receivers?
I think it's just, well, that adds to it. You're right. That would add to it. But I think it is. It's just the talent of the receivers. The quarterbacks, the receivers, they're so good right now, as we've talked about. This is a culture thing in the world, in our country. You know, just people are throwing the ball 40 times in eighth grade now. Receivers are catching, like, they're playing sophomore football in high school, and they're like, I got 17 catches today. And it's like, what? And when you and I were growing up, nobody threw the ball 17 times.
All year.
All year. I mean, seriously.
Offense.
And here we are, you know, later on where it's that way. So, yeah, I would say you got to have a different approach when it comes to guys like that, for sure.
Raul Del Toro 15. Says, was Mike Zimmer really the problem? Vikings offense is still just okay, and their defense cannot pressure the quarterback. Oh, so he's saying, as you would say, pump the brakes on the Vikings here a little bit, maybe.
Well, the Vikings, I do think the offense has a little more versatility. I will say that. The defense, yeah, there's not great, great talent on the defense. But I think, you know, all in all, they're sitting here at 3-1, and there's a different energy about their football team. You know, and I'm not saying it was Mike Zimmer's fault, but I think it was just came to that time where they needed something new in the building.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, Ed Donatell, what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, it's not going to look perfect. They're still in the process of, I think, of getting the right personnel that would fit that Ed Donatell 3-4-ish type scheme, Vic Fangio type scheme. So that's not all there. But I still think it's a good start here. And, you know, for an ugly week 2 loss against Philadelphia, right, and then – last week to come back and beat the Lions. And then again this week, you know, gut it out in a game where really you blew opportunities to kind of control the football game.
Yeah.
And I got to give him credit there. And I'm not blaming Mike Zimmer totally for those things there, but I do think it was time for a fresh new start.
That defense has come a long way in 2 years, too. Right? What, 2 years ago, they were in the conversation for worst defense in football.
Right.
Right. And
yeah.
Not that anymore.
Linebackers are pretty good. The pass rushers are pretty good. You know, we've talked about the secondaries, maybe needs a little work there, but, you know, all in all, it's a pretty well-coached football team, and damn, like, you know, they're 3-1. It's hard to argue against that.
I think the Tennessee Titans are a pretty well-coached football team. Mike Vrabel got them another win against the Indianapolis Colts. 24-17 was the final score in this one. Both of the running backs were kind of a story. Derrick Henry goes off again, second week in a row, over 140 yards total. Scrimmage yards, had 114 on the ground. Jonathan Taylor left the game with an ankle injury. Titans
are close. Their offense is close. It's the second week in a row where we saw glimmers. I know in the Raiders game last week, they kind of like they faltered towards the end offensively, yeah, and got the win, you know, but I do see things over the last 2 weeks to go, ooh, wait, the running game's close. The play action pass game, watch out, right? You know, there's some of that.
They just don't have a receiver that scares you.
That's the biggest problem. You're exactly right, Amon. I think that's the part that they're going to have to continue to work on here. I think that's why you're seeing Derrick Henry for the second week in a row. A little more of the part of the pass game, the screen game, right? You know, the tight end, Okwonkwo, he's very talented. I liked him coming out of Maryland. He's very raw, but, man, he's better than I thought he was going to be, at least contributing here early on in the football season. But I think that's the next piece of the puzzle for them. You're right. They got to find that go-to guy or that guy that puts you in a bind with, oh, wait, now you're stopping the run and doing all that, and you're one-on-one out here. And that's where the risk of trading away A.J. Brown, you lost that. And I think that's why after they traded him, I think that's why Mike Vrabel had to get up and walk around the draft room and shake his head a few times because he was like, holy fuck, we just traded that guy? Like, that's kind of a big part of our formula here. And, yeah, Treylon Burks has definitely not, you know, gotten to that level yet.
No.
But they are closer. I think that's the thing. And it was easy for them, you know, moving the ball. And then they made some plays on defense where, you know, again, I'm going to give them credit for being the more physical team on the football field. And the Colts just every week get out hit. Every week. I know they won against the Chiefs last week. They were out fucking hitting that game, too. The Colts are concerning to me, for sure. I mean, Matt Ryan doesn't look the same. He looks weak, right? I would say to Matt Ryan, like, if I was like his friend, I'd go, it looks like he's in this, I'm trying to stay thin and light and fast mode. And I'd go, do the opposite. You're not that fast and you never will be. Just be thicker and a little stronger and have a little more pace on the football, right? I mean, every time he gets hit, it seems like he fumbles right now. You know, there's just – it doesn't look good. And then their offensive line here, you know, almost every week since week one, we're just talking about gets pushed around, whether it's the run game or the pass game. And it doesn't look good for the Colts right now, and I'm not sure if they can really turn it around. I'm definitely skeptical about that.
Yeah, they were pushed around by Denico Autry, a former Colt himself, 2 sacks and a forced fumble. You say, yeah, they got to Matt Ryan. He had some trouble holding onto the football, much like Trevor Lawrence and Jonathan Taylor. Did we show the graphic, the comparison, Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor? So you see what Henry did there. Thanks, Kristen and Gabby, back in the studio there. We were waiting. I was talking to them before the show while we waited for Chris to get in.
Yep. I was late as usual.
A little late. 20 carries for Jonathan Taylor, 42 yards. Left the game with an ankle injury. I don't think we had an update yesterday. We might get one at some point today from Frank Reich.
From what I heard, it's not anything major. They escaped the very dangerous ankle. Like, it's he might be able to play. It's not going to be out for an extended period of time. No, so maybe not. It's Thursday.
They do play.
But he's not going to be out for an extended period of time. I feel like that's what I was told.
That might not be a major problem. But for the Colts team that I think a lot of people thought they could win the division.
Right.
And maybe I'll put them in the Super Bowl because maybe the quarterback was the last piece they needed. They're 1-2-1 right now. And I don't know what the odds are, BetMGM, but I would bet against them making the playoffs. Like, what do you see right now that makes you think they're a playoff team? If you were to make the argument, anything?
It's hard that just you hey, the O-line will regain its form, right?
Defense?
I don't know.
Defense is...
You know, defense, I thought for sure they'd be able to stop the run game a little bit at the Tennessee Titans. That was disappointing. And then Shaquille Leonard being back, and he gets a concussion right away, right back in action to get going there. But no, I think you're saying it right. I mean, they had 4 Shamrocks up their ass last week to pull the game off against the Chiefs. They really realistically should be 0-3-1. That's really what they should be. And as of right now, yeah, if you made me bet or if you made me look at a team and go, oh, they're not in the playoffs right now, but watch out for them, the Colts are not one of the teams I'm picking for sure. I'm not going there.
Okay. Titans win 2-2.
I have more faith in the Patriots at 1-3 than I do the Colts for sure. Yeah. And, you know, if Mac Jones gets back and all that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable! when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
All right, not great if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan right now, but it is great if you like the song that we do here every Monday, Damn Okay, because it is Damn. That time.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay. Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, Pete makes a good point. I need to have a moment where I say, I am Ahmed Fareed.
We need to infuse you in there.
I guess I just did.
We do. I mean, you know, you still haven't, have you made the YouTube page promo yet?
No.
So, I mean, it's just disrespectful.
No, I was on there doing an awkward handshake.
Oh, yeah, you
remember
made
when
it.
I did? Good. It was actually worse than
good.
Not being on
That's
there.
That's right. I forgot. You complained to the bosses and they finally put you in there.
Yeah, they put my worst clip on there. Damn okay to the Chargers, Derwin James. The straw that stirs the drink of that defense for the Chargers. They beat the Texans 34-24. Derwin had 6 targets in coverage, 2 passes defended, 3 catches for just 3 yards allowed. He is awesome. He plays all over the field. Such a good dude. Great for the game that he's back there and healthy. Austin Eckler, 3 touchdowns, first time he's gotten into the end zone this year.
Yeah.
But man, why can't the Chargers ever make it easy?
I don't know. It is amazing that way. I mean, they were unstoppable early on in the football game.
They were.
Davis Mills threw an interception early, and the Chargers scored, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is fun to watch. Herbert was on fire. I mean, he was making every throw. He was moving a little bit, throwing, you know, big time throws that way. And you just went, oh, this one's over. But you know, there we are, 27-7, and they put a good drive together. And then, okay, the Chargers stall out, and they put another good drive together. I think that's the drive Damon Pierce broke, like the 75-yard run. And then all of a sudden you're going, oh, okay, hey, they're going to make this respectable. And then DeAndre Carter fumbles the kick return, and it's a short field. And you're going, holy shit. I mean, if Texans score a touchdown here, they're going to be up 28-27. Defense did a good job holding a field goal, 27-24. They get the ball back, and you know they go down the field and score a touchdown and kind of put the game away. But I know it is amazing, but I think it just shows you in the NFL right now, no lead is safe. It doesn't matter who you are. You get a lead, it's hard to play super aggressive on defense. And then it goes back into the quarterbacks and offenses are just so good against some of these vanilla looks where I almost get to the point here where I'm going to go, how much evidence do we need, right, of, like, where's the analytics on prevent defense? Like, if they go down and score in 5 plays against prevent, then maybe we should just keep calling the blitzes and the man-to-mans and all that, too. And so what if they score in 5 plays? It's the same as the 5 plays in the prevent. I don't know. Am I crazy to have that thought? I sit and watch games lately and just go, I don't even think you should worry about that defense anymore. I don't know. There's a part of me that's just like it's so easy when it gets to that point of the game. But
every dad in America has said the thing that Pete just said in my ear.
What'd he say?
Prevent defense. More like preventing you from winning.
Yeah, every dad. I know.
And I've said that before too, but it does seem like that.
It does right now. It does.
And I don't know
if there's gotta be a fine line.
I don't know sometimes if it's the defense or if it's just letting your foot off the gas, right? You
exactly.
get a big lead.
The other team's pushing the envelope a little bit. There's that part of it. There certainly is. But you know, hey, credit to the Texans for hanging around. That was a big win for the Chargers. If they somehow blew that game right there, that would be one of those where I'd go, fuck, their season is in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, they got some injuries. They got to win games like this. So that was good to see. And Herbert seemed healthy. I didn't see him really grimace or do anything with his rib yesterday. And hopefully he's getting closer there.
Yeah, he was only sacked once. Meerkat Manor wants us to note a damn okay for Jamari Salyer.
Yeah.
Salyer?
The left tackle.
6th round pick came in left tackle for Rashawn Slater, who's unfortunately out for the year.
Yep.
0 pressures, 0 sacks in his first NFL start against a productive defensive tackle squad.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, no great pass rusher there with Houston, but hey, protecting him, good start there. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I'm excited to see that. And then I know Derwin James balled out, right? On the defense side of the ball. I know.
Yeah.
But like with him, I know with him, I just wanted to talk to him because I didn't get to talk about him.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing the best Derwin James we've seen right now through like you know, through 4 weeks. It just seems like it's every game that I've turned on, whether it was I watched the Raiders film to open the year, the Kansas City film. It's just run game, pass coverage. He's being used in more different, you know, more versatile spots than I feel like I've ever seen. He's just a phenomenal talent. He's like the jack of all trades there. I just wanted to give him credit before we moved on.
Well, that's what we're doing in this damn okay, is we're going to give credit. Pete has sorted it to give credit to some of these studs on defense. And so the Raiders got a stud on defense as they beat the Broncos in this one. We'll give the damn okay to Max Crosby. 2 sacks, 4 tackles for a loss, a batted pass that almost caused a safety when Russ got caught in the end zone. This was another one of those late games that was happening while we were doing Football Night in America. But the Raiders found a way to just stymie the Broncos in the second half. Max Crosby, a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and, I mean, Max Crosby is by far the best defensive player on the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, that's not even close. You've heard me complain. It's one of the issues with their team. They don't have anybody that can make plays on that side of the ball. All right? But, odd game, and it was like the tale of two halves. First off, felt like Denver was kind of controlling the first half of the football game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we talked about, what was the game I just said with the game-changing play that we were just talking about a few minutes ago? Vikings-Saints might have been, or no, it might have been the Jaguars, the fumble with Trevor Lawrence, right? Yeah. This, the Melvin Gordon fumble, right? And I know, like, the game was only 10-10, but the Broncos kind of seemed like they had mojo going on the offensive side of the ball. They were driving, and now you're down 16-10. I know they got the touchdown before the half, but it's like it seems like from that point on, the Raiders kind of got going as a football team and, you know, ran the ball impressively. Ugly, really, the way they kind of won the football game. It was just ugly, hard-fought drives, you know, some good third-down conversions, some, you know, good 8- and 10-yard runs that way. Like, nothing that I can jump out to me that I remember watching going, oh, man, they're doing this. You know, I think really McDaniel has a good feel for like that defensive scheme, the Vic Fangio scheme. Derek Carr seemed, you know, kind of on his game, didn't make any dumb mistakes. And it was the first game all year we saw the Raiders' offensive line come alive and kind of win in the running game.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, after all the talk and the concerns in the preseason, he was playing a lot. They're like, what is Josh Jacobs doing playing all these snaps in the preseason? Jake Cameron, 2185, says, despite what you said, Raiders and Josh Jacobs can run the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, in your face.
In my face, Chris Sims. Yeah. I hope they can continue to do this. I think that's, you know, again, we know balance and all that, but McDaniels, when he gets a little run game going, he's one of the best play action pass designers in football. That's where I think life could be a lot easier, and then it takes a little pressure off of, wait, you can't double Adams or you can't double Darren Waller. So, that was a good start, certainly. I mean, something that we hadn't seen to this point.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen, like, okay run game, but that yesterday had moments of, like, damn, they're getting 5-6 yards at a clip whenever they want, and that was impressive to see.
Antonio Romano gives a good question here. Based on what you've seen so far, should Russell Wilson have swallowed his pride and stuck it out in Seattle? They seem to be progressing, and Denver seems a mess. Love the show, guys, with a heart emoji.
Thank you. I think that was over. He burned too many bridges there in Seattle. They were sick of him, as you could tell with Pete's comments after that, and I think he was sick of them. So I think, again, let's not judge it just after 4 weeks, right? There's some things that we've liked here. They're sitting here at 2-2. It hasn't been pretty, I know, you know, but again, You blow a game in week one, and that, you know, changes the way things look to a degree.
Right.
Right?
Would be 3-1.
Right. Week two, ugly win, but got a win against Houston Texans. Right? And week three, had to play the 49ers, and we know that's a really good defense. And then yesterday, you make a few mistakes, don't play your best, and the Raiders pull out the victory, so there they are. But I'm not ready to, like, count them out totally yet.
Raiders got their first defensive touchdown since 2019. They got their first win of 2022 in this game. The Jets got a win, a comeback win against the Steelers. The Kenny Pickett era perhaps has begun, although Mike Tomlin has not made a formal announcement. But he did not get the win. It was that second-year guy of Zach Wilson. We'll get to him in a second. But the damn okay goes to LaMarcus Joyner. Couple picks.
Some big picks.
4 passes defense. So we wouldn't have the Zach Wilson comeback if it was not for Joyner.
No. Joyner, you know, made a great catch down the field, you know, early on in the football game with the interception. And then was his the last one there that Pickett would throw off his back foot?
The Hail Mary.
Oh, it was the Hail Mary. So that doesn't really count.
Yeah, but why not? It's still got to.
It's okay. It doesn't really count. It's okay. Okay. All right. Right.
So he had
half
one.
An interception.
He had one interception, three passes defensed.
No, but Sims, you know, rating. He. Well, I watched this game pretty closely. He's a guy that his presence on the field is very well known when you're watching. You know, he's one of those guys that I think every team in football is looking for, where it's like, you know, hey, he's great in the pass game and a safety, but when we play him down here in nickel or he's around the box, man, he's an aggressive tackler and will throw his body around. He's very good. He's perfect for a Robert Saleh defense. You know, so that's where it makes a lot of sense. He's been in this scheme before throughout his playing days. But, yeah, that was a big win for the Jets. You know, good job by him. Defense played solid. Really, you know, just off the top of my head here, I mean, the defense has been much better than what we saw last year. And I know they gave up a few big plays to Joe Burrow and company last week in that game, but, you know, Lamar and the Ravens, that wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland ran the ball on them. That was probably their worst defensive performance, but that's better. And then the juice that Zach Wilson, a.k.a. the Milfinator, brings is tangible to their football team.
All right, so JBird44
right.
wants to know, in what areas do you feel that Zach Wilson showed improvement and what areas still need work? So
well, yeah.
He came on strong in the fourth quarter. I think we have some numbers to back that up for our viewing audience here. Fourth quarter, he was 10 for 12, 128 yards. When it mattered most, that guy stepped up.
Well, he did, and he was, you know, he made some big throws even on their first drive of the or their first touchdown drive of the game to go up 10-0. You know, where I went, damn. I mean, he looked good. Now, you know, all right. Just to give some context here, yeah, it got scary. I mean, the Jets did some really fucking dumb things in this one. They're down in field goal territory. He throws a stupid interception before the half. Right? Remember this? Then Pittsburgh throws a Hail Mary, and they hit the quarterback too late. And then it moves them into field goal position, and Boswell kicks a field goal before the half to take to make it 10-6. There was some dumb shit there, for sure. And then, you know, the pick six, of course, that put them in a tough spot, and now it's, you know, or it wasn't a pick six, but it got them down
return
close,
to the 4-yard line,
right.
Yeah, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
So that makes it 13-10, and they're down. So a lot of things went against him. But so my big thing with him is just, you know, just be a little more tactical in your aggressiveness, a little too gunslingery at times, a little too loose, right? That would be the thing to answer the question specifically about, like, you know, what he needs to get better at.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great confidence in his arm, but I don't know. First off, he's not, you know, a statue in the pocket. We saw him get out of the pocket and avoid a bunch of sacks and pressure that Joe Flacco would have never gotten out of. And then, you know, to me, just some of the quickness and the precision and the power on some of the intermediate throws over the middle. You know, again, I know some people are going to just go, oh, look, that's a 12-yard completion over the middle. Great. I'm going to go, yeah, but the quickness and how he gets the ball out of his hands, puts the ball on the money, and the RPMs on the football overall, you know, they're thrown into tighter windows. They give a guy a chance to run after the catch. You know, I thought he looked great that way. And again, they're running plays too that I look at and go, they're not trying to hide him. He's not throwing 12 screens and, oh, we're managing the game. I mean, they let it go with him. And he made some big throws those last two drives of the game. You know, reading coverages, making the right decisions down the middle of the field that I thought were big time. And he deserves a damn okay.
Yeah, before the comeback by Zach Wilson, though, we did have the comeback by Kenny Pickett, who made his debut in the regular season, the only first-round quarterback from this past draft. Some good, some bad. Two rushing touchdowns. Looked like he was running his mouth out there, too. So already was trash talking in his first half of football, but also did ultimately have three picks in the game, although only two if you go by Chris Sims.
Well, yeah, I don't care about the Hail Mary, right? I don't care about that.
Take that one away.
But the first one was not great when he tried to throw the post to Chase Claypool, right? And it was kind of double coverage, and really he just didn't throw it far enough, right? So that was not good.
Second one was high off the fingertips of Freiermuth, I think.
Right, you just can't make that throw there. It's just not worth it. For what? The 1 yard gain off your back foot, 25 yard throw across the field with pressure in your face on the sideline? Like, that's, you know, hey, next year make that throw. We'll trust you a little bit more. But your first time playing, doing that, you know, late into the sidelines, is definitely a thing that you get told about in the NFL. Yeah. No, don't throw it late to the sideline because there's going to be bodies there. Balls do get tipped up in the air and that. And he threw the ball high, and yeah, it ended up being an interception and a huge moment in the football game.
What'd you think of the good, though?
Listen, I like the way he looks, and I would be shocked if he's not the guy going forward. You know, again, he's such a consistent, smooth thrower of the football. And then, like, he had the one play we showed on our highlights last night with Freiermuth down the middle, got hit in the face, and the one he was talking crap and all that.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, he's tremendous under pressure. He really is. He's got great feel of just how to avoid the hit long enough so where he could throw the ball how he needs to throw it to get the job done. And that's where I give him credit, and I think the Kenny Pickett era starts here.
Probably his team going forward, as you mentioned right there. I don't think Mike Tomlin officially wanted to say anything after the game, but we would imagine he'll say something here pretty shortly, right, if he has not already. As we move on to the Cowboys and the Commanders, 25-10 was the final score in this one. Damn okay to Trayvon Diggs. Got another one. Faced four targets in coverage, one interception, two passes defense. The one catch he did allow was for only 6 yards. And that pass rush was awesome again. Thought it would be against Washington, who struggled to protect Carson Wentz. He was pressured on 40% of his dropbacks. DeMarcus Lawrence had a couple quarterback hits. They had 11 quarterback hits in the game, even though they only got to him two times for a sack. I was thinking this. You know, Dallas, I don't think they have the best defense out there. But man, oh man, they might have the scariest defense. What do you think about that?
That's a good way to put it. You're right. Or there's a playmaking element of them that is very scary. Whether that's Micah or Trayvon Diggs, who are you could argue the two best playmakers of the position of football. I mean, Micah Parsons, he's in the conversation for the best defensive player in the game, along with Aaron Donald and, you know, Chris Jones and other guys that I'm certainly for, Miles Garrett and T.J. Watt and all that crew. Right, he's definitely in that combo. And then Diggs, I don't think there's anybody with better ball skills in the game at corner. Him and Xavier Howard are like receivers. And the ball's around him, you just go, uh-oh, they get a hand on it, they're going to grab it. And he's phenomenal that way, has size to go along with it, you know. And to your point, scary, because he just goes, oh, you want to throw the 10-yard out? Well, you might get a touchdown, but it might be a touchdown for me too. Like, that's where they're scary. And then you couple that with Dan Quinn, where he deserves a lot of love. He does. You know, I was critical of Dan Quinn in the end in Atlanta. Just going, it's so predictable, and it's just so easy to game plan. He reinvented himself. And their defense does a lot of different stuff. And you couple that with the talent they have in the defensive line, and then his ability to stress the protections out a little bit, it does make them scary, to your point. And then they're playing the right way on the offensive side of the ball. And you go, damn, they're playing as a complete team right now and playing really, really good football.
Cooper Rush becomes the first Cowboys quarterback to win his first four starts. We have the stats for Cooper Rush this season. 3-0 this season, four touchdown passes, no interceptions. Jerry Jones has got his wish. We have a quarterback controversy.
Yes, right. Sure we do.
I mean, how much worse is this quarterback, is this production, Ben,
right,
than what we would have seen from Dak Prescott?
Well, this is my problem. First off, I'm going to go, I don't know if they're going to play this way with Dak Prescott. You know me. This is one of my gripes. You know, it's, hey, the other guy's in. We got to help him out. We got to make a few plays. You know, the way let's play a game plan that's the best for us to win the game. And it's like, well, what the fuck were you doing before? What were you doing before? Oh, we had Dak and we're paying $45 million, so we got to justify it and throw it 45 times a game. We got to. Like, no, you don't. You don't. Dak Prescott is going to be able to make more big plays and put more pressure on defenses. I just hope they continue to play this way. Cooper Rush, great. He's done a phenomenal job. There's no doubt about it. He has solidified himself as one of the better backups in football, if not maybe a chance to be a low-end starter and prove himself from there, like a bridge quarterback where you go, hey, you know, we'll go with Cooper Rush. We're not sure what we want to do this year. We got a young quarterback, right? And then to see if he can jump on the scene and be an established starter. But I think he's gotten to that point there where you go, Cooper Rush is going to be in the NFL for the next 6 to 8 years now, for sure. He's bought himself that with this performance. But I think it's just, you know, again, not that the run game kills it, but there's balance and there seems to be a real plan of attack as far as how they want to play the game on that side of the ball. And I think when you throw Dak in there, his ability to throw the ball down the field, stand in the pocket, make big throws, all of that, and the way they're playing right now, like, Dallas is better than I gave him credit for coming into the season. I was wrong about that.
Michael Gallup is back. I like Michael Gallup, too. He's fun to watch for me.
You put CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Noah Brown on the football field. Those are some tough matchups. And, you know, you talk about tight end play and Schultz and Ferguson. They're not bad. And if they just stay patient with the run game and all of that, I think Dallas is more of a player in the NFC than I wanted to give them credit for.
The Commanders have some issues because the rest of the division is winning a lot of games. We got the Eagles undefeated. We got the Cowboys now with 3 wins. And the Giants.
Yeah, Commanders are done. See ya.
Yeah, I was going to just skip on them.
Yeah,
just
go ahead.
We'll talk about them, I'm sure, as we go, but not great for them. The Giants,
the
to continue my transition,
beat
the Bears 20-12 is the final score. We'll give the damn okay to Dexter Lawrence. 8 total quarterback pressures, couple sacks, a hit, 5 hurries. The Giants' offense had a ton of rush yards. I mean, they're
ugly.
It was ugly, but you look at some of the stats. I mean,
like
8 quarterback pressures, that's not ugly if you're a defensive guy.
Right.
And Saquon Barkley hasn't been ugly, and Daniel Jones getting outside of the pocket. Hopefully he comes back and that ankle's okay. I mean, yeah, you can say it's ugly, but they're playing winning football.
They are. We'll take it. They know who they are. A little bit like we were talking with Dallas, right? Like, the Giants have had no illusion of what they are to start the year. You know, they manage the offense. The defense is better than people think, and it's pretty well creatively coached, and they have some size up front to where you can't just dominate them in the run game always. So they have that at least going for them. And I think when you couple that with Wink Martindale's ability to be creative in the back end, it makes them tough. But legs are who they are. Daniel Jones' legs, Saquon Barkley's legs, Graham Gano's leg, it's the best thing the Giants got going for them. I mean, Daniel Jones' ability to run off the design run or just scramble or bootlegs or whatever, it's the best thing they got going for them. And Saquon Barkley is definitely in the convo for best running back in football. I mean, he's back. I don't know if there's any way to say it. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Kyle Vert, 53, wants to say it.
Right.
He goes, damn okay to Saquon Barkley. He's done nothing but put the G-men on his back through the first 4 weeks. What do the Giants have to do to support him and not wear him down? Okay, that's an interesting question. He had 146 yards on 31 carries in this game. They also threw to him 2 times.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything. Listen. Hey, I'm a Giants fan, and Kyle Vert, 53. The Giants receivers suck. They're not good. Nothing's going to change. We got to ride Saquon if we want to keep winning games. There's no other way. And give some credit, Giant fans, to Daniel Jones. I'm sick of it. I really am. He's 3-1. He fucking makes plays with his legs. He's tough as shit. They still don't protect all that great. The receivers are never open, and they're 3-1. And he's a big reason of it. I know it's not sexy. I get it. But damn, like, give the guy a little credit. 2 touchdowns, big runs, you know. We'll see. You know, it's going to stink with looks like a high ankle sprain. And, you know, that sucks because we're talking about it. He's such a big part of the offense, his movement. And they got to play Green Bay. He's not going to be able to move the same way. You know, and Tyrod Taylor is going to be in concussion protocol. You know, I expect Daniel Jones to play this week, but he's not going to be the same guy. I would think it's going to be, you know, a little bit of one-legged Willie out there playing in London.
Justin Fields, the other quarterback on the other side, pressured on 50% of his dropbacks.
Yeah.
He was 2 of 8 for 17 yards, 6 sacks when he was under pressure. Man, 6 sacks.
Yeah.
For a guy that can move around and has some mobility, completed 11 passes, did throw for 174 yards, but that Bears offense, outside of Herbert,
there's not much going.
It doesn't look great.
No. And you know, I think, you know, one, I think they're really, like, the Giants stress their protection schemes a little bit. Fields holds the ball too long at times, right? That's another issue. And they just don't have a drop back passing element that really is even worth a damn right now that can, like, back a team off. And again, they don't have great talent. I get it. You know, but their offensive line has proven they can run the ball just about on anybody here so far during the year. They're running the ball on everybody. They ran the ball on Green Bay. They ran the ball last week, you know, and they ran the ball a little bit on the 49ers. They ran the ball a little bit yesterday, at least with enough success. It's the pass game that really fails them.
Yeah.
There's just no consistency there. There's no ability to stay on the field, you know, get ahead of the chains. It's like if they don't run for 6 on first down, it's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen on this drive? You know, and other than, you know, a few runs and a one deep ball to Darnell Mooney, I just feel like there's very little to speak of or really get a feel or get excited about with their offense right now in Chicago.
You know, thinking about it, the best quarterback from that class 2 years ago, man, it might be Zach Wilson. That's kind of crazy. Who would have thought that?
Some guy would have. But we'll see. Yeah, I'm not ready to say that
it's,
yet.
It's tough. It's tough sledding. Not a whole lot of help around what? Justin Fields. That 174 yards, by the way, was a season high for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's ridiculous in itself. That 174 yards. And again, this is. I think it's a little bit of. I'm going to say. You know, you heard me say this. A little bit of both here. Yeah, they don't have great talent. I don't think he's given them great confidence about. You know. His accuracy, some of his decision-making early on in the year where they want to let him just drop back and throw the football. You know, like I said, the film has told me the last 2 weeks that they're managing him a little right now. They don't trust the decisions. They don't trust the ball. And that's why there's lack of pass attempts. And then I don't think, you know, pass protection goes into this as well. But, yeah, there certainly needs to be some growth from the Chicago offense.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
All right, three more games. And we're going to do that with Give Me the Headlines, presented by Hyundai.
What up, Hyundai?
Do your breaking news little thing. I think that's appropriate.
Here we go. Give Me the Headlines, brought to you by Hyundai.
Let's get the first edition out there. Yeah, give me the headlines. All right, so we got Seahawks defeating my Detroit Lions in the highest scoring game in the NFL since 2019, I think. 48-45 was the final score. What's your headline?
Well, I said this yesterday just as the game was going on. Let Geno cook. I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Russ is like, this is what I wanted.
This is all I wanted. I wanted to throw the ball every down. But, I mean, Geno was phenomenal to start the football game. I mean, throwing the ball, was making plays with his legs. I mean, you know, this game, the other headline I thought about coming up with is like Elway versus Marino. Oh, nope, it's Geno versus Goff.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, they
seriously,
both were over 300 yards. Jared did throw for 378. Yeah, six touchdowns between the two of them. One interception was Jared Goff. But, yeah, Seattle didn't punt in this game. Lions defense is awful.
It's awful.
It might be the worst all time.
It's up there.
It'll be in the conversation, I think, by the end of the year.
I think you're probably
right.
Unless
they turn it around somehow.
It doesn't seem like anybody has any problem moving the ball however they want.
Yeah.
Against the Lions defense.
But let's give credit to Geno, though.
Yeah, Geno has been phenomenal. He's played really good the whole year. I hope people back up off him a little bit here. You can see the guy's got talent. He does. He's a pretty good decision maker. You know, the ball pops out of his hands. You know, he's done more than I think answered questions about whether he deserves to be a high valued backup or a starting quarterback. I mean, again, you know, there's Jared Goff, who played really well, too. He's been to a Super Bowl. You can't sit there and tell me that, you know, the ball comes out of the hands of Jared Goff the same way it does to Geno Smith, nor can he run like Geno Smith. So, you know, there you go. Sometimes just the perception leads to this false reality that's not real. But it was good to see. And then, you know, got just seemed like, you know, they were going to take their cuts with Metcalf and Lockett yesterday. And I know Metcalf went off. Lockett had a real damn good day, too. They were aggressive. They weren't going to, like, let the Lions off the hook and be like, we're going to run the ball and play this kind of game because we're the Seahawks and Pete Carroll. They were like, I think what you said. They're like, you guys suck. We're attacking you, and we're going to make plays.
And then they go, oh, wait, we can run the ball, too. And they can't stop that. And Rashad Penny had 151 yards. You mentioned DK Metcalf went off in the game. You know, that was for a bathroom break. Do you remember?
I know.
That really was.
On
he went
cart,
off on the
right?
cart on
we
a bathroom
like,
break.
I was like, oh, no, DK's hurt.
I know. I thought that too. He tweeted about it too after the game, right? Do we have that where he says, do we have DK Metcalf's Twitter? And it says that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. So I guess he means if he would have walked off the field, he wouldn't have got to the bathroom in time? Is that what he's saying?
I think
he would have peed himself?
He's saying that clinch, I don't think it's more than pee. I don't think he's worried about pee. You don't take the card in because you can't hold it. That's
really?
That's a shit emergency right there. Right. Really, if you had to pee that bad in the NFL, guys would huddle around you and they would go and somebody would hold the towel up and you pee on the sidelines into a garbage can.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a thing. 100%. Or like when every now and then, you got to watch a sideline. I mean, you know, there's probably a guy peeing on the sideline once a week.
Did you ever do that?
No, I don't think I did. I think I held the towel around a guy once who had to do it when I was in Tennessee. I can't remember who it was, right? Or you might see guys get down on a knee. They get down on two knees, and then people huddle around them, and somebody will like hold the garbage can down so he can go down there and they can hide from the crowd and everything like that.
What if it's artificial turf?
Well, they pee in a garbage can. They don't pee.
On a knee? How do they do it on a knee?
You know, you could tilt it over and make it work.
Did you ever have to leave for number two?
Never, never. First off, like, I always had, like, the night before the game, I could never eat a full big meal because I was already starting to get a little anxious for the game.
Yeah.
The morning of the game, I mean, like, no appetite. Had to force a waffle down my mouth with, like, some bacon. And even I was, like, literally, like, halfway through the waffle, like, my mouth is dry because I'm like, Julius Peppers is coming today. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's just the way I was. I was in knots until the game started, and then I was like, okay, gosh, this feels better to play now and stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I never had to take that break right there.
All right. Well,
but your Lions too. You know,
Hyundai didn't know this was going to be part of the segment.
Managing the game. And mistakes still, you guys just can't afford to do that, whether it's, you know, missed fourth quarter, turnovers, missed fourth downs, or even like, you know, hey, Goff starts the second half, right, with the pick six, right? Josh Reynolds has the fumble at an inopportune time. So it seems like every time you guys kind of get going and, okay, ooh, this could become a closer game, which I know it ultimately did, you know, you guys would make a mistake and the Seahawks would go up by, you know, 10 points or two scores or whatever. And it was just like you guys were always chasing. Sorry.
TJ Hockenson did have 179 yards and a couple touchdowns. Career day for him. Scorigami, too, 48-45. First time in NFL history that we have ever seen that score.
I was sitting there like that's why I wanted to say Elway Marino. It was like Marino and Ken O'Brien back in the day with the Jets Dolphins.
Yeah, they could not do that. Maybe one day Kyler Murray will have a game like Jared Goff. One day. Kyler Murray did get a win against the Panthers. 26-16 was the final score. Your headline for this one was?
We're not in Oklahoma anymore. Okay? Because these two quarterbacks, as we know, won that Heisman in back-to-back years at Oklahoma, and it was offense was easy, and we throw the ball all over the place. These two offenses suck. There's no other way to say it. They suck. You know, I don't want to say the quarterbacks suck. The one thing I'll give Kyler Murray credit for is he's rare to force the ball, even in these ugly games. Baker Mayfield, you can't say the same. He's a little more apt to, like, let me squeeze one in the window here. And, you know, his mistake, I think the interception to Gardeck late in the football game was really the thing that closed the deal. But, yeah, I mean, look at the Carolina offense. They can't even get DJ Moore the ball. You got Christian McCaffrey leading the game in receiving. It's just like every week it's like, well, I hope McCaffrey breaks a big play just to make our stats look somewhat okay. I mean, they're pitiful on that side of the ball. And, yeah, I don't think that much of the Cardinals offense either.
I think Matt Rhule will be the first coach to be fired. They are now 1-26 under Matt Rhule when the opponent scores at least 7 points and have lost 24 such games in a row.
It's ugly, and I would agree with you. I think he's probably on the way.
Longer does he have?
This could be an in the season firing. You know, Pete's in my ear going, maybe before Halloween. I think it could be that way. David Tepper doesn't seem like he's got a whole lot of, you know, patience that way.
Do we have their schedule?
And then, you know, like early on in the game, you know, the Cardinals were like dying for them to take control of the game. And the Cardinals get stopped on a 4th-and-1, right? Kyler throws a pick six. The next drive, they go for it on 4th-and-1, and the center snaps it over Kyler's head, right? And, you know, and then there you go and you go, wait, it's 10 to 10? Like, you had all these breaks? Oh, wait, you called a double reverse and you guys fuck up the exchange and fumble that and give it back to the Cardinals? It's just like anytime they kind of get a little bit of an edge, they end up messing it up as well. It's just that was an ugly football game altogether.
K1 since day one wants to give a damn okay to Zach Allen, who helped make that game ugly for some of the offenses for the Carolina offense. He took over the game versus Carolina, says K1 since day one. Has been a top five defensive tackle in the NFL this season, he proclaims.
He's been damn good. And I've certainly talked about him when we watched the Chiefs game, right? When we did the Wednesday podcast, I said, man, he pops a lot. Yesterday, yeah, whether it's pressure on the quarterback, he's like little like mini J.J. Watt. He's got that same type of feel. The one thing he is phenomenal at that always pops out to me is, you know, high motor, disruptive, but great eyes as far as batting balls down. And I'm sure J.J. Watt's taught him a little bit of that right there. But, yeah, that's, you know, he is. He's definitely one of the best players on the front seven for a team that doesn't have really a lot of difference makers up there in Arizona. But, yeah, Panthers are too talented to be looking the way they look on the offensive side of the ball. I don't mean to go back there, but it's just
– brutal.
It is brutal. And, you know, the two interceptions, they were bad, too, by Baker. They were. You know, he throws the first one where I think Thompson gets it. He's got DJ Moore down the field in a man-to-man situation on a corner route, and he throws the ball behind him, throws it in the worst spot, and DJ tries to, you know, reach back. And as he's reaching back, the ball gets tipped in the air, and it's an interception. So, you know, it was nothing special, and of course Arizona was nothing special either. But they at least they make less mistakes, and Arizona at least gives you the feel of like, they're going to make a play at some point. They just got too many guys who are playmakers to where you just feel like somebody.
Arizona
at some point. It might not be pretty, but you know you're in a 10-10 game and it's fourth quarter. You know, my money is on Arizona to kind of make a play to kind of separate themselves.
It might not be pretty. It might be a good way to headline our last game that we're going to talk about here. Falcons beat the Browns 23-20 in a game that I basically have no feel for. I was like, what happened in that game? Your headline for it, though.
Okay, I got to get back there. Hold on. Here we go. It is rush more, pass less. All right? And that's because, I mean, the stars of this game were the running game. And it was like, I don't really remember seeing any marquee passes the whole game. As I'm writing down my notes and as the game's going along, I'm going, man, Browns drive down the field, three big runs, got them down there, and they scored a touchdown. Oh, the Falcons answered back. It was two huge runs, and they got a field goal. They're a touchdown. I mean, it was certainly the rushing game that seemed to be, you know, the star of the show in that one. And, I mean, we knew that Cleveland's running game was going to be good coming into the year. The Falcons and Arthur Smith, again, I can't give enough credit for a team that I don't think is overly that talented. You know, they play the right way, and they're tough, and they hang around, and here they are at 2-2. And I think that's a lot because of Arthur Smith and his X's and O's, knowing what they are as a team and managing the game the right way.
They're your mini crush. Jaguars have been your big crush. Maybe Atlanta's growing on you here.
Well, I always – it's like Robin Hood. It's just like they're like a team that we didn't expect to kind of be this way, and they're physical, and there's some grittiness to them to where I don't know how you can't respect it and like it to a degree.
At one point with Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley, they had 14 straight runs.
That's unbelievable.
Like, they were like, we don't care. We'll just keep running it.
And they were gashing them. I mean, they really were. And
Marcus Mariota had 7 completions and 19 attempts. He threw for 37% in the game.
Yeah, that's not pretty.
Didn't need him.
But
outrushed.
Yeah, but with that O-line, which I think is pretty damn good, and Cordero at running back, and then Mariota's ability to run the ball, they put you in a bind that way. And then they're just hoping to hit a few big plays to Pitts and Drake London, and they'll call it a day in the passing game. Defense has been damn good. Grady Jarrett, your guy from last week, big ass. He looked good again. I mean, he certainly popped to me a few times.
Could he win the Big Butt of the Week award 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know.
Never
It'd be
happened
hard
before.
As a defensive tackle where they let up that many yards rushing. I don't know if you'll give it to
him
this week.
Good call, yeah.
But either way, that was a good victory by the Atlanta Falcons.
And that was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. It leaves us with one more game to talk about that hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah.
It is our Monday night game, Rams at 49ers. It is our BetMGM parlay preview. You pick these games all on Thursday.
Yeah.
You always stick to it. I say it every week.
I did. 49ers are changed last night.
Did you really?
I did. I was very close to changing to Kansas City.
Oh, that's right, because you picked.
I picked Tampa, and, you know, as we were, like, getting before the show, and I was like, damn, the Hurricane stuff, and they were in Miami and all that. I was like, man, maybe I should just pick the Chiefs. I hate to change it, but maybe this is one, but I didn't, and I paid for it.
Gosh darn
it. And then I was yelling around going, how could I pick this old quarterback over Mahomes? What was I thinking?
Yeah. You got the 49ers. Yeah, what is your pick? I don't have your pick here. The 49ers are favored by...
I took the 49ers.
You did. They're favored by 1.5. Over-under is 42.5. You think it's going to be high-scoring, low-scoring?
I would expect low-scoring. I think it's two defenses and two... even offensive coaches that I think help their defenses out to know, hey, like Kyle does this, McVay does that. We want to stop this. Here's how you stop that. He's not going to, they know each other too well.
Yeah.
And Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator from the Rams, you know, he coached under Kyle Shanahan, so he knows some of his tricks there. And I have a hard time thinking. I'm taking the 49ers really out of a more of a desperation thing. The fact that, whoa, you could be 1-3 here. You know, the Rams are playing better football than they are. There's no doubt. But Jimmy G's got to play better. But my breakdown, and you've heard me say this before, is just where the 49ers are a tough matchup for the Rams because the Rams want to overwhelm you with their team speed. The 49ers, maybe not as fast as the Rams overall, but it's not far off, but do have a size advantage that I think is significant.
Yeah.
So that's where they kind of win this matchup a little bit. We'll see if Garoppolo can take advantage of some of the opportunities given to him tonight. I'm expecting him to bounce back, and the 49ers, like I said, to be looking down the barrel at 1-3 to win an ugly football game 20-17.
The over-under for Cooper Kupp receiving yards is 93.5, I think.
I would say no.
Under.
I would say under tonight. I would. I would think that if they have a big night passing tonight, it's going to have to be somebody else. You know, and we've seen glimmers of Allen Robinson. It's getting close. But I just think, you know, I'll go back to, first off, I think DeMeco Ryans is a really good defensive coordinator. I think, excuse me, Shanahan will have a good feel and kind of going, hey, when they put him here, they're trying to do this, or try, and they'll come up with the creative zone coverages to where he's not doubled, but he's kind of doubled because they got people dropping in the right areas. And because of that, I'm going to take the Rams in this. I mean, the 49ers at home in this
one. It hasn't been good to bet against Coopers in the NFL. Cooper Rush.
Cooper Kupp.
Amari Cooper, though, just one catch last week. So maybe there's one Cooper. Maybe this is the week to bet against the Coopers. The action never stops at BetMGM. You can sign up now using the bonus code Sims, two M's on Sims, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000, Chris.
So say you bet $100 on the Rams to win. Okay. If you win, you'll get $105.
Wow.
Big payday. But if you lose, you still get $100 worth of free bets.
Cool.
So you don't really ever lose.
You never lose, not, at least with this promotion. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter the bonus code SIMS to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. You can lose in gambling. That's a disclaimer that we just need to say.
Yes, you can.
And participation in this, we do need to note, is optional.
Yes, you don't have to do it.
We always say that. We're never going to force you to do anything.
You don't have to give your money. Yeah. Or bet money on football games. But hey, I understand. All my friends do.
If you do, you have fun with it, and maybe you'll win some money.
Yeah, just don't bet your house on it. Don't bet your life on it. Let's not lose everything over the 49ers.
Unless
Rams.
It's a Chris Sims best bet, then it's guaranteed to win.
Absolutely not. Not right now. Please don't listen. Just listen to the information and make your own bet, okay? Because I'm on a cold one right now. I definitely am. But you know what we will be doing this week? Wednesday treasure hunting.
Oh, yes.
That's right. We'll be back Wednesday for What the Fuck Happened podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And I'll keep sending in the questions, homies. Hope everybody's good. Hope everybody enjoyed week four.
Yeah.
Ahmed, thanks for being on time as usual today. One of these days, I'll be on time as well.
That's all right.
Way to go.
It's a long
way to
day
lead the
yesterday.
Charge.
It's a long day.
I know. I don't really have an excuse. I'm just a late person. I'll be late for my funeral. Everybody be good. Enjoy the Monday night game. We'll see you Wednesday. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.